This is Bob Fetrakis with The Other Side of the News, brought to you by thefreepress.org. WCRS Community Radio 98.3 and 102.1. Hi, this is Bob Fetrakis in the studio of WCRS. We're talking with Carolyn Harding with the Columbus Community Bill of Rights. She's an organizer right here in Columbus, Ohio, arguing that people, local people, need local control of their water, their air, and safe soil. Welcome to The Other Side of the News.
Thanks, Bob. Great to be here.
Well, this sounds like an ambitious project, a Columbus Community Bill of Rights. What do our listeners need to know about this? Why would we even need a Bill of Rights? I thought we already had one of those with the federal government.
Well, we need local control more now than ever, because our waters, our air, and our soil are in jeopardy with the amounts of waste coming into our state and into our city itself from the shale gas industry. And the state is has jurisdiction over the permits, and right now there's a red carpet for this industry, and the waste is toxic and radioactive, and it will get into our water supply, our water, our air, and our soil. So we feel that the people of Columbus need to find out about this, know about this, and we need to protect ourselves.
So by shale gas, you mean frackers?
Yes, hydrofracking. That's shale gas, that's unconventional natural gas extraction, horizontal hydraulic fracturing. It's excavating for natural gas. Yes, fracking.
Okay, now the specifics, is this a legal amendment to the charter of the city of Columbus?
Yes. The charter is like the city's constitution.
Okay.
And this will be an amendment to the charter. And it will be made into law after the people vote on it. So we do have to have a ballot initiative where we need to get roughly 10,000 signatures of Columbus, valid Columbus voters. And then it will be put on the ballot. We are aiming for next May 2015.
Now, why would Columbus need a community bill of rights? Didn't they do this in Mansfield? Something similar?
Well, in Mansfield, they had an ordinance for injection wells, and it's been very, very successful. And their law director really embraced this issue in protecting Mansfield from injection wells. And so...
But there's fracking in that area. There's no fracking in Columbus. Tell our listeners, why would we need a community bill of rights in Columbus?
We need one in Columbus because we already have 13 injection wells in our watershed. It's not in Columbus municipal territory, but it's in our watershed in Morrow County. And we eventually will get
the
waste.
So the people of Columbus share the same watershed with the people of Morrow County where there's fracking?
Yes, where there's injection wells. And maybe folks don't know what injection wells are. But these are the abandoned vertical wells or new wells where they force down millions of gallons of water that is now radioactive and toxic waste from the fracking process. And it's so hazardous it has to be put deep into the ground. And there's a lot of problems with injection wells besides the fact that this water can leak and migrate, but it also is causing earthquakes. Injection wells are causing earthquakes more and more, especially recently in Oklahoma.
And that was documented, was it not, in the city of Youngstown and in the Youngstown area?
Yes, Youngstown. there was an injection well that caused the earthquakes. It was the first of the new year. I think it was last year.
Now, there's been talk, and we've written about this in the Free Press, that there's radioactive waste actually coming in to Columbus, Ohio, and could affect our drinking water. Is that true?
What's going on is there is a Ohio EPA permit to process drill cuttings from the fracking industry on the Alum Creek.
Drill cuttings is all this stuff dug out of the earth in the process of extracting or fracking for natural gas?
Drill cuttings are all the dirt and rocks that come up when they drill the borehole down vertically and then horizontally. Now, this dirt, some of it can possibly be not radioactive, but if it is in the horizontal leg, it is most likely radioactive and quite highly radioactive because the shale is naturally radioactive, radium-226. And because of all the legislation changes and redefinitions that the General Assembly enacted last spring, these drill cuttings were redefined from norm, naturally occurring radioactive material, from T-norm, which is technically enhanced naturally occurring radioactive material. It's been redefined from that to norm, which is naturally occurring radioactive material. T-norm has to be tested for radioactivity. Norm doesn't. So now in Ohio, the only state that has done this, all drill cuttings are now considered norm and do not have to be tested for radioactivity. So
even though they're being extracted with radioactive material, radium-226,
oftentimes, the drilling muds are used to drill these drill cuttings. Yes, radium-226 is the primary radionuclide in the black shale.
And most people know this because of the so-called daughter gases. Many people have radon detectors in their basement as a major cause of to prevent lung cancer in the United States, do they not?
Yes. And in this area, there's a lot of radon.
And it's also been said that one of the ways in which they find the place to fracture and look is based on radioactive indicators.
Yes.
Is that true as well?
Right. They're looking for the hottest radioactivity because that's usually effective in producing natural gas.
So that's the way to drill efficiently. They're bringing this material up where they've gone down and, fractured and got the gas that they need. And you're saying that there's really not much control over the radioactive waste material that they bring up.
Correct.
And that Ohio is the only state
that's redefined drill cuttings from T-norm to norm.
Okay, so radioactivity now normal in John Kasich's Ohio. So in many ways, if it doesn't look like the state is going to protect its citizens from radioactive waste being dumped into our water supply.
Exactly.
So the only voice it appears that we really have is this local option.
Yes. And I made a commitment to 2,000 signers of a petition I had online to ban fracking and toxic injection wells. And my commitment was to hand deliver this petition to all our lawmakers, every Ohio senator and Ohio rep. And after meeting with every single one or their legislative aides, I was real clear that the state was not going to change anything very fast. And maybe potentially never. And I was clear that we needed to find a better way to deal with this toxic waste, or else we would be in jeopardy of becoming a radioactive waste zone.
So your promotional material says Columbus citizens have no legal right to keep this waste out. What do you mean by that?
Well, the Ohio Department of Natural Resources, ODNR, has complete jurisdiction over permitting wells and injection wells. And if a local community doesn't want to have a well or an injection well in their community, they really have no say. It's up to the state, Ohio Department of Natural Resources. So we worked with a nonprofit legal group called Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund, CELDEF.org. And they've worked with Pittsburgh. They've worked with many cities in Colorado, Pennsylvania, in helping communities protect themselves from an offending industry that's coming into their community, and they have no rights to keep them out.
But these corporations increasingly have rights, do they not?
Increasingly, they have far more rights than the local people that live in that community and that are impacted by the waste of that industry.
So what do you do? The corporation gets the right, authorized under law or through a court, to dump radioactive, toxic waste into a city's water supply. And essentially, they appear not to really need a permit for it because the Ohio Department of Natural Resources thinks it's also the Department of Unnatural Resources and seems to have invited all of that kind of toxic radioactivity into the state. So people can actually do something locally?
Yes. The Columbus Community Bill of Rights is a rights-based charter amendment, and it's not a ban of fracking. It's us stating our unalienable rights, right to local self-government, right to pure water, right to clean air, right to safe soil free of radioactive elements in it, right to peaceful enjoyment of home, a right to be free from toxic trespass. There are rights for natural communities and ecosystems, and the last one is a right to a sustainable energy future. And these are the eight rights that are in our Bill of Rights. And then, once the people pass this, who doesn't want these things for their community? Once we pass it at the ballot, then those offending companies that come in and pollute our water or pollute our soil or refuse to allow us to have a sustainable energy future, they are then breaking the law of Columbus, and then they will be treated as a lawbreaker.
All right, let's go over these 8 points again. The first point in a petition that you're circulating at the moment?
Yes, it's a ballot initiative, so we need to get roughly 10,000 signatures.
And this is for the city of Columbus, not the county?
Right. We're starting with the city of Columbus, but then we will be looking to create one for Franklin County next.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes.
Point one
is a right to local community self-government.
Okay, and how do you envision that?
Well, what is actually in the language is all residents of the city of Columbus possess the right to a form of governance in the city which is based on the people's self-governing authority and which protects and secures the rights of the people of Columbus. Use of the City of Columbus Municipal Corporation by the people of Columbus for the making and enforcement of this law shall not be deemed by any authority to eliminate, limit, or reduce that self-governing authority. In other words, we're not trying to take away the power of the City of Columbus and our government. We are just wanting to amend it.
All right. Second point.
Second point is right to pure water. All residents, natural communities and ecosystems, which is basically animals and insects and the plants and trees in the city of Columbus, possess the right to sustainably access, use, consume, and preserve water from natural sources, which is untainted by toxins, carcinogens, radioactive substances, particulates, and other substances known to cause harm to health, resulting from activities prohibited by this charter and other laws of the city.
Well, I've always thought that it was odd, and let me take a quick break here and say this is WCRS 98.3, 102.1, your community radio. I always thought it was a bit misleading when they referred to the fracking water, which I understand takes, you know, literally, you know, 3 to 10, 4 to 8 million gallons per frack, which is stunning. I mean, the amount of water to frack one well just seems amazing to me. But they often refer to this water as brine. But when I've investigated it, I mean, you get 600, 900 toxics and radioactivity. Brine seems to be salt water, slightly, you know, tainted, you know, process from a runoff, but it's really not brine, is it?
Well, it is salty. So that's what they, it's euphemistic.
So
it's euphemistic.
They say, hey, look, there's some salt in here.
So we're
ignore
calling it
the toxic stew.
Right. No, there are carcinogens, endocrine disruptors, big time.
And
neurotoxins.
What do you mean by that? What's the impact of an endocrine disruptor?
It really affects and deregulates, or not deregulates, it messes up people's reproductive.
Okay.
And not just people, but animals and fish. And right now they're finding in the Ohio River and areas in Pennsylvania a lot of male fish having female attributes, and they're calling it, it's coming from chemicals, but they are endocrine disruptors. And that is in it. When people are around frack wells, oftentimes lower birth rates and lots of stillbirths. It's and endocrine disruptors, it really affects reproductive process. And then, of course, neurotoxins, which messes up your, you know, the way your brain works. They're just deadly, deadly chemicals. And then also the radioactivity, the radium-226, what happens, it's, you have to either breathe it or ingest it, but it's a bone-seeking radionuclide that causes breast cancer, bone cancer, leukemia. Nothing, you know, that any community wants to have in their water supply.
I'm speaking with Carolyn Harding, who is organizing and promoting a Columbus Community Bill of Rights. You can find out more information at columbusbillofrights.org or radioactivewastealert.org. So, Carolyn, that was the second point. Your Bill of Rights has 8 points. What's the third point for our listeners?
The third point is right to clean air. Do you want me to read the
sure,
okay,
sure.
The paragraph is, all residents, natural communities, and ecosystems in the city of Columbus possess the right to breathe air untainted by toxins, carcinogens, radioactive substances, particulates, and other substances known to cause harm to health, resulting from activities prohibited by this charter and other laws of the city.
Okay, so you're saying, so this could apply not only to fracking, but
other laws of the city.
Yes, some of these traditional polluters who for years were polluting in Columbus until they were forced to be cleaned up. Okay, so it's clean air.
Clean air.
Yeah, what's your fourth point in your Bill of Rights?
The right to safe soil. Now, this is very important here in Columbus.
Yeah, particularly with this huge movement towards organic and community gardening, yeah, which is being heavily promoted by the city itself.
Well, and also because of the permit to process drill cuttings, which are could be highly radioactive, right on our Alum Creek. And so this, and also drill cuttings are now allowed to be just dumped in any municipal landfill. These landfills are not set up for low-level radioactivity. So all throughout Ohio, municipal landfills are receiving this potentially highly radioactive drill
cuttings. Do we have any idea in Columbus or statewide what we're talking about here, where they could dump this radioactive material?
Where they could. I do not have the map with me, but there are, I believe there's 36 of them.
So there's 36 spots that the ODNR and the government of Ohio would allow you to go in and dump radioactive soil.
Correct.
Yes. All right.
Okay, now the next one is right to peaceful enjoyment of home. Now that's...
Which number is that? Is that five?
Yes, that's five.
Number five. One more time.
Okay, number five. Right to peaceful enjoyment of home. And this has to do with fracking, because if you live near an injection well or if you live near a drill that is drilling, the sound that comes from the drilling itself and then the trucks and the traffic, it really reduces the quality of life for people that are experiencing that. So this is about protecting your quality of life where you live.
And that in many ways was a long-standing common law right of people.
Yes.
So number six.
Number six, right to be free from toxic trespass.
Toxic trespass, yes. Interesting term.
Well, all residents, natural communities, and ecosystems in the city of Columbus possess the right to be free from trespass by manufactured chemicals, toxins, carcinogens, pathogens, radioactive substances, particulates, and other substances known to cause harm to health, resulting from activities prohibited by this charter and other laws of the city. So basically, we're just reinforcing that we don't want chemicals from manufacturing companies coming in and toxins and carcinogens coming into our community.
Now, what would this require if there some of this heavily toxic material is coming through Columbus? Would they have to notify us that?
They wouldn't be able.
They would have to. They wouldn't be able to bring it into Columbus?
No, they would not be able to bring it into Columbus or even build a pipeline.
So they would have to take the outer belt?
Yes.
And hopefully the outer belt, or hopefully quit doing it?
Well, if it's regarding extraction of fossil fuels, they will have to go outside the city of Columbus.
All right.
Yep. And the next one, which is the seventh right, the right of natural communities. Natural communities and ecosystems, including but not limited to wetlands, streams, rivers, aquifers, and other water systems, possess the rights to exist and flourish within the city of Columbus. Now, this is very unusual, but it's gives protection of our natural communities and ecosystems by people, citizens, other than just people that live next to it or own that land. It allows people to protect natural communities and ecosystems in Columbus legally.
So how would they protect that? They would go to the city attorney, they could sue?
Yes.
Both?
They would both. And I think they would go first to the city attorney, and if the city council would do nothing, then they could sue. And then but with those kind of situations in the Bill of Rights, only they would only get enough money that would cover that would bring back the natural community to its state before the problem, and then no one would make a lot of money. The money would go back into the system.
It would make them whole.
Yes.
Yeah. So it'd be more like contracts. It wouldn't be.
No one's trying to make money on this. Often. They just want to make sure that the wetlands, the rivers are protected. And the last one is a right to sustainable energy future. All residents in the city of Columbus possess the right to a sustainable energy future, which includes but is not limited to the development, production, and use of energy from renewable, non-polluting, and sustainable fuel sources, as well as the authority to establish local sustainable energy policies to further secure this right, and the right to be free from energy development, production, and use that may adversely impact natural and human communities.
And is this similar? I know a few years back, at the time they had four windmills, we went up to Bowling Green, and the city up there was building windmills and generating renewable energy from those windmills. Mm-hmm. I know down in Cincinnati, across from the zoo, they've got solar panels in the parking lot that you can park your cars in. I know there's a lot of technology, be it wind or solar, that the city, which had historically been in the energy business, could go back into it and, you know, they would probably make money.
Yes. This would just give Columbus the right to have sustainable energy future, and not allow the energy companies to prohibit it. As we saw in Senate Bill 310, the renewable energy and efficiency standards were rolled back or frozen. This would keep it open for Columbus to have renewable energy and to go forward with it.
Would the city itself be mandated to develop?
No, this is not a mandate. This is a right. This is a right to be able to create sustainable energy. It is not a mandate to say we have to do just that. But if the energy that is being created and developed pollutes our water, pollutes our air, or our soil, then it would be an infraction on the Bill of Rights.
Could the city get involved in promoting renewable energy, clean renewable energy, if it wanted to?
Yes, it certainly could. It certainly could, and we hope it does. Because we're doing this, the citizens and I that we work together with, we decided to do this because we really love our home, and we really love Ohio, and we want to protect it.
I'm talking with Carolyn Harding, who's promoting a Columbus Community Bill of Rights. Where has this been done, and has it worked?
Yes, it has successfully been passed in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and also in Ohio. Mansfield has had a Bill of Rights for injection wells. Broadview Heights near Cleveland has a charter amendment to keep new wells from being drilled in their backyards, which they were drilling all the time. And let's see, Yellow Springs has passed a ordinance, and so has Oberlin. But right now, Youngstown is working really hard to pass a Bill of Rights, and Kent is, and so is Athens. Yeah, so a lot of folks are really working hard to put a stake in the ground and say, no, we don't want this to happen to our community. We want to protect our community.
How can people help? I mean, if they want to learn about this, they go to your website?
Yes. They go to our website, which is columbusbillofrights.org. They can email us at columbusbillofrights@gmail.com. And we will be at the, starting in August, we will be at the Clintonville Farmers Market on Saturdays. We will be on the East Side Farmers Market on Saturdays. And they can find out on our website where they can actually come and sign this petition and help. We need all the people we can get signatures. So if you're from Columbus, you can sign the petition. But if you're not from Columbus and you're concerned about this issue, you can still help to go out and get signatures.
All right, the last minute, what do you want to say to the listeners of WCRS?
I just wanted to let you know that, yes, we in Columbus need to protect Columbus, but not just Columbus. We need to protect Franklin County. We need to protect Ohio. And in fact, this shale gas development or frack development is a huge, huge polluter of water, of soil and air, and that we all need to fight and make the transition from dirty fossil fuels over to a sustainable energy sources.
Thank you, Carolyn Harding, Columbus Community Bill of Rights. Check it out online, ColumbusBillOfRights.org. That's the ColumbusBillOfRights.org. They're out gathering petitions, getting them signed as we speak. Thank you, Carolyn Harding.
Thank you so much, Bob.
You're welcome. That's the other side of the news.